Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for the opportunity once again to be a Biblical Studies with you today from the Crockett Church of Christ. We're located at 7458 Highway 4 West in Senatobia, Mississippi, about 7 miles from Interstate 55, going toward the Tunica side. You'll find the congregation there on the left side of the road as you come that way, and on the right side of the road if you come from Tunica back this way. You'll find the opportunity to visit with us at 9:30 for Bible classes, 10:30 for the preaching service there, and at 6 o'clock for the nighttime service for those unable to come on Sunday mornings. We invite you to come and be a part of services with us this very week. It's a joy to be with you today and to study with you from the Bible on this occasion. And here's a subject that I have delayed putting on for the last 11 or 12 weeks of time. And that is the wrath and punishment of God. The wrath and punishment of God. I generally don't talk to parents about punishment of their children in the sense of you need to give them a spanking right now. You need to whip them right now. You need to talk bad to them right now because of the way that they have acted in front of you. The idea is to guide them toward the ideas that they should talk about, should think about, should do, and as a result of doing that, compliment them in regard to the way that they have obeyed what you have taught them and what you've expected of them. That's the way of life to pursue, not from the negative side and not from the bad side. And that's why I've delayed putting out lessons in regard to the wrath of God and the punishment of God. The Bible verses that deal with the wrath of God are many, and they are profound in their locations in the Scripture. For example, in John chapter 3 and at verse 36, after speaking about believing in Jesus Christ and that He sent by the Son as the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on one that does not believe in the Son, according to John 3 and verse 36. Do you ever read that far when you read John 3 and verse 16? To believe on the Son of God is important to God, and that He says the wrath of God abides with the one that does not believe on His Son. What if we escape the wrath of God in this world in which we live? And some of these verses will indicate that we do suffer from God's wrath while we live here upon this earth. But there are verses that relate to the fact that the wrath of God to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, we read about Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Whose wrath would it be? It'd be the Lord's wrath. And as a result, that will be the punishment time of that which is to come in the future. The judgment day of God and the aftermath of that brings the wrath of God upon those who disobey Him. Ephesians 5 and verse 6 tells us plainly, portrayed as the sons of disobedience. When sons of disobedience face the Lord, they face Him as children of wrath. Read there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. The children of wrath are there now by name. Many people look at God from the standpoint of an old grandfather who is the father of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but might have everlasting life. God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life. The Lord came to give us life and give us hope for that life. And the wrath of God was not a part of His way of life. And thus there are people who judge God to always be filled with so love for everybody. But the Scripture affirms to you and me, as the verses that we've already noted, the wrath of God in John 3 at verse 36 abides on the one that does not believe in the Son of God. It's written in Romans 1 and in verse 20, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When you and I plan out a way of life that is sinful and wrong and misses the mark of God's plan, we find ourselves under the hand of the wrath of God. The wrath of God comes upon those who find themselves in unrighteous conduct and disobedient conduct, ungodliness as being a part of life. When we use profanities to judge people and to condemn them and send them to hell in the words that we say to them, things like that, we find ourselves not doing the love of God, but doing the disobedience to God. The wrath of God comes upon those who find themselves ungodly and unrighteous in their conduct. Unrighteous in our conduct is a way of life where we go to do the things that we do, not because it's right, but because we want to do it and get away with it. If we do it and get away with it, we'll find ourselves thinking that we're okay with God. We got away with it. We didn't have any hesitation. But if the world at large, Romans chapter 13 tells us, if the world at large judges us on the basis of right and wrong, then we find ourselves condemned of the world in which we live. We'll be arrested and placed into incarceration because we're in prison, because of the things that we have done and things that we've said, the way that we've acted. That's unrighteous conduct. But if we do what is right, we'll find ourselves sorrowful about the way that we've talked, sorrowful about the way that we've acted, sorrowful about the way that we behaved and misbehaved in life. And we will be so thankful to God for His forgiveness, so thankful to God for His way of life to forgive us. That's exactly what Paul was writing about in Romans chapter 6 when he said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" You see, they had the idea that the more that they sinned, the more grace was required to forgive them. A worldly way of looking at life. The more that we sin, the more grace is required to forgive us. And therefore, they thought the more that they sinned, they were closer to God because they had the forgiveness of God to finally come to them. Look at what he said. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. How shall any of us that died to sin live any longer therein? When he tells them that, he tells them that their place in baptism was to be baptized into the death of Christ and raised thereby like Jesus was raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in that tomb. He was raised from that as you and I are raised from the waters of baptism, to walk in a newness of life. I teach that to people because Paul taught that to us. Paul mentions that in detail there in Romans chapter 6. Down at verse 18 he said, "But God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you served that which was missing the mark. You didn't do that which was right. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you, being then made free from sin." Being when made free from sin? Being then, when you obeyed that form of doctrine delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Serving what? Serving what's right. You did what was right finally in your life. And because you did what was right, you have a wonderful blessing of God. And therefore, as he said in the opening part of that chapter of Romans chapter 6, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein?" When did we die to sin? That was a form of doctrine we did. We died, we were buried, we were raised to walk in newness of life. We died to sin, baptized into water, found ourselves buried with Him, and we were raised to walk in newness of life. That's the real hope that you and I have, to escape the wrath of God and to have the hope of God's forgiveness and wonderful blessings in our lives. You ever ask yourself the question, who revealed the Word of God? In John chapter 16 at verse 13, Jesus taught his disciples, I'll go back to the Father, and I'll pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, another allos comforter. An allos comforter, another the same kind that I am. He'll come to you. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. As Jesus sent the Holy Spirit along our way, we have the message of the Lord revealed in the remainder of the New Testament of our Bible. And in fact, in the book of Romans, in second chapter, he mentions about the Holy Spirit revealing to them there at Rome the following information. The day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God will be forthcoming. And we're to avoid that day. Do not obey to those who obey the truth, but do not be a person who neglects obeying the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. They will be punished with the wrath of God's day and revelation at that end day. That's what he said there in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Do not obey the truth, but obey the unrighteousness, the indignation, and the wrath of mankind. Jesus refers to such as everlasting punishment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Indeed, it is the case that you and I find ourselves rejected of God when we find ourselves putting hope and trust and confidence in the way that is unrighteous, ungodly, and unrighteous in our conduct as we live upon this earth. Let us be people who realize that much more we have the wonderful blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sins. In Romans chapter 5, at verse 9, he says, much more then being now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The wrath of God will come upon those who do not believe in the Son, according to John 3, and in reference to this matter of John 3 and verse 36. It is clear that the wrath of God will be upon those who do not believe in His Son, but that those who do believe in His Son and believe in the blood of Christ that He shed for the remission of our sins, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5 and verse 9. If you're a person who lives in life in such a vain way, such an ugly way towards your fellow man, towards your wife or husband or children, or towards your parents, towards your grandparents, all that goes along in life that's filled with wrathful things and wrathful conduct, you'll find someday that you will have to stand accountable to the wrath of God at the judgment day. He will find you on that day. He will say to you, depart from me, ye that worked iniquity. What were they doing? They were working iniquity. They thought that by working iniquity successfully on this earth, they were getting away with it, and they wouldn't face the wrath of God. But they were, instead of not being cleansed by the blood of Christ, as they found themselves enjoying that relationship with Jesus and His blood and the Holy Spirit and the Father in heaven, the hope that they had for escaping that as this world goes, the best in life could be enjoyed. According to John 10 and verse 10, it is the case that Christians can enjoy the very best life in this world. Through him they could escape the horrors of hell, and through him they could escape and live in the hope of heaven. They could recognize the wrath of God, and they would not be a part of that. But as they came along the way and heard about the wrath of God and the rejection of God and the trembling effect of the wrath of God, they found themselves thinking that this is something that I can escape. I can escape. I don't have to have the blood of Christ. I can escape it. I don't have to have Jesus to have come and teach me the message of the Lord there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't have to have Jesus' Holy Spirit come and tell me the truth, because he said there in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you apostles into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Indeed, the Holy Spirit came, taught the apostles, they recorded it, and in the books of the New Testament of the Bible, in Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, on down the line, they taught the Word of God. It was recorded there. And as it was recorded there, it made a difference in the lives of the people that lived in those places. And it'll make a difference in your life and mine, though we live maybe 1,000 years beyond that time. We find an opportunity to know the will of God and to put it into practice in our daily walk of life. I didn't lead off with the idea that God would punish us and the wrath of God would come upon us in the last 12 weeks of time. I didn't start this program with that idea in mind. I started the idea of hope and faith and love and the relationship that we have with others and with God Himself. I started with the idea that we need to turn from a way of life that's wrong and missing the mark. And we need to accept the Lord's forgiveness and enjoy His wonderful grace in our lives. I use the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Paul went about the world and preached the gospel, and he says, all men have heard this gospel. It's the grace of God. It's appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and denying worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Notice that he just mentions the three things there, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the way to live. That's the way to do. And in 1 John 1, he tells those people who do not live that way, they're in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. They've come into that fellowship, but they've gone back into the ways of sin and wrongdoing. And he told them, if we confess our sins, read there in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's not telling that to the world at large. He's not telling that to those who never have come into a fellowship with the Father and the Son. He's telling that to those that have come into a fellowship with the Father and the Son, and they have turned from it because of their ungodly ways of life. They've turned from it because of their ungodly speech and ungodly ways of doing. And so what you find there is this. You find him telling them, you can have forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he, that is God himself, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He realizes when we from the heart confess that I've said the wrong thing, I've done the wrong deeds, I have misbehaved in such a way, I know that you're not pleased with this way of life. I know this is not the way of life that you want to uphold. It's not the way of life that saves. It's not the way of life that does good for people. And you confessed it. God sees that genuineness in the heart, and from that he says, I will forgive you of your sins, and also I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see, unrighteous thinking, an unrighteous planning, an unrighteous conduct starts out from first our ideas with others. We hear other people talk that way and misuse the name of the Lord as they talk and things like that. And we'll find ourselves tempted to do the same thing and get away with it. And we think, well, we're okay now. We've gotten away with it. But if you confess your sins, he says there in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He reaches down into our heart of hearts, and He begins to cleanse away those things that will cause us to be tempted to leave the cause of God. Because we think that way, because we plan the words that we do, because of the deeds that we do, we find ourselves going into the missing the mark, into sin. But He'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We didn't do what was right. We didn't plan what was right. We didn't hug in a way that was right. We didn't kiss in a way that was right. We didn't talk in a way that was right. We didn't find ourselves in righteousness at all. It was unrighteous conduct that we did. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who are these people that have that blessing in 1 John 1? Read back up in verses 4, 5, and 6. They're the people in fellowship with the Father and the Son. They're in a fellowship. They're in a joint participation with the Father and the Son. They're living a life that is fine and wonderful. Now here, the brethren there at Rome in Romans 6 were not doing that. They were living in sin and wrongdoing. And they loved the idea that they thought the idea was that the more that they sinned, the more grace was required to forgive them. And so the grace of God would come and forgive them, and they'd be thereby closer to God because they had more grace to come and forgive them. That's the idea they had in mind. And Paul says, how shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? How do we do that? How do we find ourselves loving sin when we found ourselves in life? We found ourselves wanting to be free. We died to sin. We live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're buried with Him by baptism into His death. Buried with Him by baptism into His death. Therefore, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, by the glory of the Father, the Father came down as He told Him He would, and He's on the third day He raised Him from the dead. When Jesus came out of that tomb, that stone was rolled away and it stayed rolled away. It did not block His entrance back into the world. Jesus came out of that tomb and He found Himself there in the presence of the disciples. He found Himself there to tell them, this message I've told you is true, it's accurate, and the Father told me that on the third day I will rise from the dead. And I have risen from the dead, I'm alive again, and here I am with you. Now what He says there in this regard, they were not doing. They were not practicing. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? I'm speaking about this morning, that we might escape the wrath of God. That we might find ourselves agreed with the Lord's way. And as we go through life and we find ourselves one time again, finding ourselves tempted to say the things we used to say and do the deeds that we used to do and be the person of ugliness and rejection of God's way as we used to do, and we find ourselves doing that in temptation, the unrighteousness of it, we can be cleansed from, because He says there in 1 John 1, I will cleanse you from all sin. And I will do what? I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I forgive you of all your sin. You're in fellowship with me now. You're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. You have this wonderful blessing. And anybody to quote this passage of Scripture to somebody who is in the world at large, never has come into the death of Christ, never come into the blood of Christ, never come into forgiveness, and tell him that you can tell your sins to God and He'll forgive you, and use this verse of Scripture, is not using it within the context that it is stated. It is not true. It's not accurate. It's a false teaching. And my friends, that false teaching will abide with you all the way to the judgment day if you live in that way of life. You lived in a way of life where you talked about sin to God, asked Him to forgive you of that sin, but you did not find yourself dying to sin and living no longer therein. That's what Paul wanted the brethren at Rome to do there in Romans chapter 6. He wanted them to do that. And in 1 John 1, he says to those brethren who found themselves getting back into the way of sin, if we confess our sins. Now here's where they confess their sins. They find themselves in a fellowship with the Father and the Son. And they have a relationship with Him. And He hears them. And He sees what they do and hears what they do. And as a result, He hears them and He says, the Father in heaven will forgive them of all their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Unrighteous thoughts and unrighteous plans, those kind of things lead us to miss the mark in our lives and sin against God. If we do that, we need to come back. If we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, we need to return to Him and in tears and regret, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of the way that we've talked and the way that we've mistreated others and the way that we have done foolishly. Forgive us of our sins. And He says, not only that, but I will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I know that many of you do other things as you listen to this broadcast. And that's why I'm repeating the various things that I do this morning about the wrath of God. Because you do that activities. It's a normal way of life, getting ready for Sunday morning, for Bible class, for discussions and things like that going on. And you find yourself listening for a few minutes and hearing a Bible verse that is used. And then you find yourself going away. And then you find yourself coming back, and what does He say about that? Well, that's what I'm trying to say. If we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, we have the Lord's forgiveness. We have His promise there in 1 John 1. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The unrighteous thinking and the unrighteous planning, the unrighteous deeds that we've done that lead us to miss the mark and sin against God. We find, He says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What He does through that is lead us away and lead us around people who don't talk that way. Lead us around people who don't do those kind of deeds. Lead us to have a relationship with others that is righteous and good. Boy, what a time it's been to talk with you about the wrath of God and the punishment of God. In case you missed the particular point about that, Jesus refers to such as in Matthew 25 and verse 46, it's everlasting punishment. Just like He talks about people having everlasting life, they have everlasting punishment for disobedience to God's way, for the unrighteous and indignation and wrathful ways of life. Well, I waited a time to talk about God's punishments. But I find myself enjoying the fact that I have done that. And I can talk about Jesus, how He loves us and cares about us. It is noted in regard to this matter that Jesus struck Bar-Jesus blind from the hand of the Lord because of his deceit and fraud that he did. There in Acts chapter 13. In view of these plain events that took place in the Scripture. We know that on this earth there can be rejection from God as well, but we also know that there can be a wrath of God poured out upon the disobedient at the judgment day. Think about it. We look forward to your visit with us at Crockett Church of Christ, located 7458 Highway 4 West in Senatobia, Mississippi. God bless you in every way. Thank you for your time today. This is Robert Rawson.